Well, we're starting a new series this morning called Change. All right, I'm so glad one person is ready. I just want to put this out there. Change is going to be continuous. Change is never ending. The only things that stay the same is the Word of God and the fact that we always change. If you don't believe that, look at yourself 15 years ago. Hello? Some of you wasn't born 15 years ago. But there has been some change. Look at photos of your grandparents. Styles have changed. Accents has changed. Whole atmospheres have changed. Whole cultures have changed. The only thing that stays the same is God's Word and the fact that we are going to change. Now, and we'll look at our nation. We'll look at the world. We'll look at different areas. Maybe our city. Maybe our state. Maybe even overseas, and it's so easy to say things need to change. Whole political parties have come into power on the campaign of change. Now, I don't want to say anything about any one president or the other, but one thing that I always believe when politicians talk about change, I believe financially all they want to leave me with is change. They want to take all my bills and leave me with change. And so, you know, but there's good change and there's bad change. And so change is always going to be coming. We need to navigate change. And one way that we successfully navigate change is by looking in the mirror of God's Word. Hello. How many of you looked in a mirror this morning? How many of you like what you saw? That's okay. You can like what you see. I look in the mirror and I'm like, you are one good-looking man. My wife has caught me saying that once or twice. And it said, you are the only person I know, only guy I know that will talk so great about himself. And I told her, if you want me to quit, I want you to start picking it up a little bit. I have something in common with God. If someone doesn't praise me, I will have something else do it. Hey, come on. God said, if you don't praise me, I'll have a rock stand up and praise me. He said, the trees will praise me. The sunrise and sunset will praise me. So I have something in common with Jesus. Hey, it's all right to know that you do something good. Let's get rid of false humility where we always have to say, oh, no, 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 no. God had made you to answer problems in this world. There are things that you are good at that only you are good at. You can see things in a manner that no one else can see them, and you are the very answer to the problem that you're looking for. Hello. So many people will look at all the problems and they'll announce all the problems. I have a rule. You want to hear my rule? Good. You're going to hear it anyway. I have a rule. If somebody has a problem when they come into my office about something that I'm doing or something the ministry's doing, I want to hear a solution. I don't want to hear just griping. I want to hear answers. Your answers may be wrong, but at least you're trying to come up with a solution. You're not just, I don't want to say those words, but you're not just griping. You're bringing forth change. Anyone can nitpick and look at something and say what's wrong. But how about being the answer? That's what I actually love politics. I know, I'm a very sick person, but I love politics. I love everything about it. I believe one of our systems is probably one of the greatest on the face of the earth, and it has so many flaws. It has so many problems. But let's look at other nations where if you even protest against the government, you can be shot and killed. You can be imprisoned. How about this? We're one of the only nations that will allow foreigners to come in to protest what we're doing. You can't do that in Mexico. They will arrest you. You are not legally permitted to protest the government in Mexico if you're not a citizen. And then if you are, who gives a rip? We're going to do what we want anyway. I love our nation. I think it is a great nation. Do we have problems? Yes, we have turmoil all over this great nation. But we have one or two things we can do. We can sit back and gripe, or we can get involved and do something. And I do believe you should get involved in politics. Join a party. You know, do whatever. But that's not your number one key to bringing change. How about taking it before the Lord? How about praying? How about getting in contact with God, being led by His Spirit, proclaiming goodness over this nation? Not damning this nation, but lifting this nation up before the Lord and saying, God, I am convinced. I am convinced that You are concerned about the things I'm concerned about. Your Word tells me so. And that You will get involved, and our nation will make the right decisions even if they don't know why they're making the right decisions. When it comes down to it, Lord, we will be a nation after Your mercy and Your grace and Your power. No matter who is in the White House. Oh my goodness. I feel like I could preach this morning. But change is going to happen. I like this statement by Tony Robertson. He made the statement, change happens when the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change. Now, I believe that that is the way the world changes. Now, I said the world. Christians do not need to wait until the pain of change is easier than the pain of staying the same. We need to constantly be evaluating our life, looking over what it is that we are doing, and seeing if we have the results that God said we could have. How about this? We always use the scripture, judge not, at least you be judged, and we're talking about sin. Don't you judge me. Every rapper on the face of the earth loves that one scripture. Only God can judge me. No, you sucker, I can too. No, I'm not judging heaven or hell, but if you're a thief, you're a thief. A tree shall be known by the fruit it bears. Oh, my good Lord. And so how about this? Instead of judging and talking about sin, how about we look at our own life and judge by God's word and see if we're getting the result He said we could have? Oh, that's real good. That's not just good. That will change your life forever. Now, I personally have certain times scheduled 4 times a year to look at my own life and judge. And that's not including when I just feel like doing it. Just 1 time a quarter, I look at my life and see the fruit of it and say, is this what God said I can have? Am I walking in the fullness of His word? Am I getting the results in my life that I want? Is my wife loving me like I want her to love me? And see, a lot of people would judge that, and if they said no, they'd be like, my God, woman, you got some step up to take. She gave me a beautiful smile, so I'm going to just keep on moving this way. But in our relationship, do you know the only person I can change? It's me. I can't change her. I've tried and failed miserably. And there were periods of time in our marriage where I pointed out what I felt was wrong. Single tear. I could see people crying for me right now. Be like, where are the guys? I need to look at you. Because I looked at a lady and she gave me a look. I'm only focusing in on you, Larry. But I'm going to tell you something. The only person I can change is me. And if I become what God has created me to become, and I put God first, amen, other stuff will begin to fall in line. And can I tell you this? I have come to a conclusion that even if the things I want to see out of other people, out of the church, out of you, out of volunteers, out of my family, even if they don't come, even if they don't happen in a year, 5 years, 10 years, I am going to serve the Lord with everything in me, and I'm going to be diligent about changing me. Your life is a seed. And whatever you're getting is a product of how you're living. Oh, let me say that again. Your life is a seed. And everything that you're getting is a product of your living. That is the worst thing that you can say to most people. Because we're not able to point at our moms and dads. We're not able to point at the way we were raised. I have even heard, and I know that you have gone through, each and every one in here has gone through some hard times. Maybe you lived in a bad neighborhood, the wrong side of town. Well, you know, maybe your area was poor. But your life, your circumstances will never dictate your future. God has a destiny for you. God has a plan for you. Look at your neighbor and say, God has a plan for you. Do you know what? There's a mold God wants you to fit in. But do you know what it takes? You fitting in to His mold. You fitting into His plan. I talked this morning about, you know, just brought up the point that you had. Did you look in the mirror this morning? Yes. Can I tell you something? When I look in the mirror, it's a little gross because I check a lot of stuff out. Look up there, make sure hair's not growing out of places it shouldn't be. Ears, nose, you know, all this good stuff. I also make sure there's nothing in my teeth. I look in, I take, you know, inspection. And this is something that even when we don't have a mirror, if we're eating out, Jessie will look at me and she'll do this really quick. And that means, do I have something in my teeth? And if I didn't catch it, she'll look at me again. And I'm here like, you're fine. Because we're inspecting ourselves. We want to have and look in a manner that we know we can. And so God's word is a mirror. And have you ever seen someone? I used to work at an office where this one guy came in every time. And his hair, you never knew what it was going to look like. He was sloppy. He knew it. And he didn't care. And one day he came into office and he told me, he says, I bet nobody really knows, but I don't even brush my hair in the morning. I laughed till I cried. He thought I just thought it was funny. No, it's because everyone knows you don't brush your hair in the morning. Because when you come in, we can tell. But the mirror, when you look in a mirror, that's when you correct things. You see things that are out of line. When you go into God's word, that's when you begin to correct things. You may not even know something is wrong. Have you ever looked in the mirror and wondered why no one told you that? Thank you. I have looked in a mirror and then went to one of my friends and be like, what? You gonna let me walk around like this all day? No one told me? It's like, well, I didn't, you know, I mean, nah, you don't care for me enough to tell me I need to change. Now, I'm not telling you when you walk out of here, you need to tell everybody their faults. That's a good way to lose a lot of friends really quick. And, you know, God, I'm so thankful that He doesn't dump everything on us at one time. That He gives us time to change. Because a lot of times we're changing habits. We're changing personalities. How about this? We're changing our culture that we grew up in. Your family has a culture. Can I tell you something? My culture was a lot different than yours. Music was different. Dancing was different. Good times were different. I grew up in a community where you needed a big pickup truck and a lot of guns. And maybe a couple dogs. That, you know, one of our neighbors one time, their front porch collapsed and killed 14 dogs. It was very sad. That was a joke. It's not even real. To tell your hearts, be like, oh, that's so sad. No, it was a joke. It never even happened. But culture was different. We did certain things that you didn't do up here. It was very common in our school to hear on the announcements, please don't bring your guns to school. They may be in your truck and in your window, but that is still school property. You're not allowed. And so people would park on the other side of the road of the school. You can't even imagine that. I'm looking at faces like, what did you grow up in? I grew up in a county that was very redneck. Very backwoods, very different way of doing things. And I could have stayed in that culture. And I could have stayed with that mentality. And I'm going to tell you something, I would never fulfill the call of God that is on my life. I could have stayed with my family thought process. What was doable? How much money was enough? I could have stayed with that mentality and I would have never accomplished what God called me to accomplish. And can I tell you this too? I prayed for big things. I prayed that God would use me. And then when God does, you have to fight the mentality to begin to complain about the answer to the prayer. The children of Israel were slaves for 400 years in Egypt. And then they begin to cry out for those 400 years, God, set us free. God, remove us from this taskmaster. And then God answered it. Well, in Egypt we had a home. In Egypt we had food and water. Yes, they beat us. Yes, they killed us when we didn't pay attention or do what they said. But it wasn't that bad. They began to be a product of their environment. This is the way things are done and the way things go. Can I tell you something? God wants to do something with you that will be a billboard to the world of His goodness and His power. Can I tell you something? One of the reasons why God used me. One, because I said yes. And two, because He said, watch this. Watch this, Jesus. I'm going to use him. People will have no idea why. Like, I'm just going to confound them all. I could have picked anyone, but I picked him. He's from the poorest county in the state of Florida. Nothing good comes out of there. Watch this. Watch this. Tim, move to Wisconsin. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. That boy's crazy. Oh, Lord, let's give him something else. You know, he's been good. Give him a good-looking wife. God is good, but you're going to have to change to fit into what God wants you to do. When you try to fit God into what you want to do, I do believe God will continue to bless you. He will bring blessings, but you'll never walk in the abundantly above all that you can ever ask or think until you say, God, here is my life. I will do what you tell me to do. You look in the mirror and say, I don't understand. Everybody has messed up hair. I don't understand, Lord. Everybody has stuff in their teeth. Why are you telling me to do this? Because he's trying to call you out. He's trying to change your whole life. This is the very answer to the things that you've been praying for. This is the very answer. Don't get caught up. Follow the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, follow God. Okay, I'm going to just tell y'all something really quick. I'm into this more than you are. I can tell right now. So let me just give you a preface of what you can do. Now, because I have given people freedom to do whatever they wanted to, and they didn't grow up in church. They didn't have church culture. Now, I understand, we just don't do everything because we were born and raised that way. But if you like something, don't look bored out of your mind. Service will be shorter if you're engaged. You will wonder why we were going so long. You've got to hook up and help me preach this message. Okay, now. I can see people want to eat and beat the Baptist to the restaurants. I see this right now. And so these things are appropriate. Amen. Glory to God. That's good, preacher. Ow! All these things are appropriate. Now, things that are not appropriate. Those things are not appropriate. My wife does those on the front row. And so if you want to get out of here on a good time, you're going to have to be hooked up with me. I'm looking at everybody in this joint. All right. Now, let's turn in our Bibles. We're going to go to James chapter 17. I meant James 1 verse 17. Thank you for all my Bible students. The pastor don't even know the Bible. Y'all, I like you. I like you people. Now, I want to say this. Change is going to come whether you change or not. Businesses have been left behind because they refuse to change. That's right. Blockbuster, left behind. Do you even know what Blockbuster is? Do you know? I'm looking at the front row here. Do you know what Blockbuster is? Do you know what it was? I got one person. Do the rest of you know what the business Blockbuster? Okay. Because my daughter has no idea what Blockbuster is. Just in case you have no idea, it was a place to rent movies. Do y'all know what a tape is? Not a DVD. I'm sorry. I don't know your age. You look really young. You're 18? All right. Well, one day you will look 18. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. When you're 70, it's a good thing. Oh, Jesus. I was cleaning the garage not too long ago, and I found my membership card to Blockbuster. You're like, good Lord. Talk about a business that had everything they needed to succeed and didn't change with the times. Actually, their CEO made the statement that they had a decision to make. They had a decision to make. Netflix came on the scene and was their number one competition all of a sudden. Well, they had a decision. Do we go with streaming movies and compete with them and try to crush them because we have more capital and more finances than they do? Or do we sue them and just try to wipe them off the face of the earth? Guess which one they chose? Sue them. They lost the case. And then they lost their entire business, lost millions of jobs over this great nation. Why? Because times, they are changing. That's right. And a big business didn't keep up with it. And now we can look at other businesses that were failing, like Apple. And I can't imagine Apple failing, right? But at one time, they were nothing. They began to lose everything. And they began to change their whole image. And they came back on the scene, and now they have more money in the bank than our government does. That's pretty impressive. More money than our whole nation has. That's impressive. Why? Because they changed with the times. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm just trying to give you an overview. I want to give you an overview of what we're going to get into. But if you want your nation to change, if you want your city to change, if you want your church to change, change will have to start with you. It has to start with us as individuals. You want your marriage to change? You better start looking at yourself and change you. You want your children to change? Lord, help us not to go crazy, but change. I recognize that I can't raise my children exactly like my parents did. One, I would be arrested for many reasons. One, we didn't care about seatbelts, because how in the world were you going to pop them if you didn't slam on brakes and then swing fling forward and you hit both of them at the same time? That's why you didn't wear seatbelts, so they could nail you when they needed you. You ain't paid attention? Hit your head on the chair in front of you. But that'll teach them. This is no joke. Okay, now, this is bad. I'm just going to tell you this, but I'll edit it out, so don't worry about it. One time I was sleeping in the car, and I had the chips in the back, and my dad wanted some. And I'm sleeping, and I'm like, this? He just whips the car. My head comes over and hits the window. I'm like, ow! Why? He's like, a squirrel. He's like, you got those chips? I'm like, yeah. He's like, hand them up here. He didn't tell me the years later there was no squirrel. James chapter 1 and verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, who there is no variables, neither shadow of turning. Let me put this into plain English for you. every gift that is good comes from God, and God does not change. He will never change. The sun doesn't move around him. He is the sun. He is the brightness. There is no shadow that casts from him that it can even change. Nothing about God changes. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. His goodness will always be here. If God has ever been good, and he has, he will always stay good. If God has ever given to you, he will always stay a giver in your life. If God has ever blessed you, everything he does will bless you. He does not change. I want to tell you this, God is not a liar. And not because lying is bad, which it is. God can't lie because it's not in him. He doesn't have the equipment or the ability to lie. Can I tell you this? I am so thankful. Men, I am so thankful that women give birth. Yes. Okay, I heard a couple. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. And I've heard, you know, I've seen like blogs or something posted on the internet, be like, oh, I wish I could experience the miracle. I will experience through her. Be like, oh, you're glowing, baby. You look beautiful. Let me go get you some ice cream. But I have no desire to carry a child. But even if I did, even if I wanted to have a child and carry the greatness of a child on the inside of me, I can't do it. I don't have the equipment. I don't have the ability. My body does not have that ability. And in the same way, God cannot lie because he doesn't even have the equipment to do it. So if God has said something in his word, it is true and there is no turning from it. Whether society agrees with it or whether society doesn't. Can I tell you something? In 15 years, what society thinks is right will change. You know how I know that? Because of their track record. Look 15 years ago. What society thought was politically correct has changed. 15 more years, it'll change again. From my grandfather to my dad, it has changed. From my father to me, it has changed. It has changed several times in my lifetime. It will continue to change because they are not solid. They are not formed on the solid rock, which is Jesus Christ, and they constantly change. What's acceptable today will not be acceptable tomorrow. But when you are in God, what is right today will be right tomorrow. It was right for my grandfather. It was right for my father. And it is right with me. It does not change. The word of God never changes. It never changes. Now, the church has been really good at getting things wrong. Ha! I'll give one back right to you. They have. And I can guarantee you that new revelation will come in my own spirit that I'll look at the word and say, I had that wrong. And guess what I'll do? I will change. Because if I'm going to stay with what God is doing, I'm going to have to constantly change. He doesn't change, but I always will. Let's turn to Isaiah 43. Now we know that God does not change. But I want to read Isaiah 43 in verse 18. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, and ye shall not know it. I will even make a way in the wilderness, in the rivers, in the desert. Now you might read this and say, wait a minute. God does not change, but he's doing a new thing. God does not change, but yet he's doing a new thing. And sometimes that might go tilt in your brain. And one reason is it seems like it contradicts, but when you let God's word be God's word and study it in whole, you'll figure out it doesn't contradict. God does not change, but the methods of us coming into the presence of God always changes. Our methods of reaching out to the lost will change. Our stage design will change. 15, 20 years ago, lights were not a part of the church scene. Not colorful. I like lights. I've had people tell me one time, well, that's kind of carnal. And I'm like, bingo, you had a dog and bingo was his name. Yes. it's going to change. Lights are a little carnal, but guess who we're after? Carnal people. That's who we want. We want people who have never accepted Jesus as their Savior, giving their life to Jesus. And so our life is going to have to change to be able to reflect the glory of God to a lost and dying generation. Somebody better, y'all want me to go long? Two people are hungry. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. Now, how do I know I even need change, Pastor? How do I even know I need change? Have you ever saw someone that needed change? How about a hairstyle? I even got a testimony. I'm looking over the crowd. Oh, there you are. I had a testimony this week about somebody who didn't even know they needed change, but their wife knew it. Do you know, I always say this. I didn't even know that I needed to change so much until I was married. I didn't even know how wrong I was in subjects until I was married. And so thankful that God puts a spouse in your life to show you these things. Oh, Jesse's hallelujah. It's like, yes, Lord. Woo! One time, she looked at a picture of me not too long ago, old photo, and she says, oh, God, I'm so glad you look better with age. But it's all her fault. My whole even eating habits. I didn't even know I shouldn't eat fried chicken 4 times a week. She's the one who told me that. I thought you could have prayer meeting right after you ate fried chicken. You could anoint someone with oil. But how do I know I need to change? One is we need to look over our life. We need to judge our life according to God's word. Is our life meeting the place that God said we could come to? Is our life measuring up to all the promises that He has said in my life? Is my life where it needs to be? Judge your own life. Look over God's word. How about this? I'm not happy with life. That would be a good sign you need to change. The world will tend to say, I need someone to blame. But the church will look at our life and say, I need to change. Can I tell you something? Politically, if our nation is off, do you know who I blame? I don't blame Republicans or Democrats. I don't blame right wing or left wing or even the whole bird. I don't blame none of them. I blame the church. The church is to be the avenue of change in the world. It is the church that holds the standard. And if we don't take our place, we have no complaints. No complaints to the world. And can I tell you, I've even been convicted of when change needed to happen in my own heart. I remember a terrorist attack that happened in our nation on 9/11. And I remember, Osama bin Laden was the one that was blamed being the mastermind behind it. I was like most Americans. I'm like, Lord, get him and get him dead. I want him to pay for this. Oh, don't act so holy in this place. Like, oh no, Pastor, I didn't believe that at all. I was praying for his soul. Okay, give me a break. And so I'm praying to the Lord, and I'm asking the Lord for justice. God is a God of justice. If there is an injustice being done in my life, if I can't change or do anything about it, I give it to God because He is a God of justice. He will. All right, I'm about to get done. Oh, Lord, help me not to come unglued this morning. If somebody is messing with my covenant, I'm a covenant man. I got a covenant with God. Okay, now get this. After this covenant is the greatest covenant I have on earth. Me and my wife is the greatest covenant on earth except my covenant with God. And you get in the way of my covenant with my wife, I will handle it. In a well-appropriate and godly way. I would just like to remind you that Jesus fastened a whip. That means He made it. It took Him some time. And He went into the house of God and flipped some tables. Amen. Sometimes you need to flip tables. But make sure it's at the right time. But if somebody gets in the way of my covenant, somebody hurts my wife, That's personal. And I'll deal with it. And no matter even how much I would deal, and no matter as far as I would go to protect her and make sure she has what she needs in life, God has greater access to things than I do. And I have a covenant with the Lord. And if somebody gets in the way of my covenant, God will deal with it. Now, some of us might look and say, Lord, you need to speed it up. But God says he is not slack concerning his promises, as some people seem about managing time. God, you're a little late here. God ain't never late. He's given somebody every opportunity. God doesn't like to hurt people. God doesn't like people to get hurt because of their own actions. I remember somebody was telling me, my boss is so mean to me. And then all of a sudden, he gets promoted, he gets a raise, and he moves to another area. And why would God bless them? And I've been over here oppressed. I mean, like, you're looking at it wrong. God just moved your problem out of the way. What did you want him to do? Kill him? What did you want God to do? Cut his brake lines? God moved your problem, and you're complaining that they got a promotion. Amen. What you need to do is look and understand that God has moved in your situation. Amen. God gives people every opportunity to change, and you better be thankful that he does, because he's given you every opportunity to change yourself. Amen. And some of us is still changing, and if we would want God to deal with them like he deals with us, he would already cut our brake lines. Mm. So let's just give some people some little bit of mercy and grace this morning. But I am in covenant with God, and God is not a liar. If he said he will bless me, he will bless me. If I look around and I can't see the blessing, all it means is God is not done yet. I'm expecting the blessing to come at any time, Lord. I've already experienced your blessing. You're not a God that you would lie. You're not man that you would lie to me. Your arm is not too short. Your ear is not deaf to my cry. I thank you that I am the blessed of the Lord. I am highly favored, covered by your glory, covered by your blood, walking in the true redemption and righteousness of Jesus Christ, a minister of reconciliation. Oh, Lord, the old man has passed away and I have become new. Yes. I walk in your goodness. Yes. Yes. You need to look at your neighbor and say, I walk in the goodness of God. We are going to be the avenue of change that we've been praying for. Matthew 6 and 33. Now, most people don't put 33 and 34 together, but it needs to be. These two scriptures need to be read together. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Can I tell you something? When you're seeking God and his righteousness, change will always be coming. Can I tell you something? Before promotion, change is coming. If you want a promotion in life, you want a promotion in your business, you want a promotion in your family, you want increase, before increase, change is a coming. You want to know why? Because you can't handle the blessing operating at the level you are. You've got to increase to be able to handle the increase. Oh my goodness. Some of you are praying for some stuff that you haven't even changed to be able to bring it in yet. Some of you are praying for a car and you can't even afford the insurance. You're going to have to increase in your life. You're going to have to change some things in your life. Now, can I tell you this? God, change me. It's a wonderful prayer. Wonderful prayer. I'm not going to knock you asking God to change you. But when you're praying that, this is what you're praying for. God, show me where I need to change. Because the last time I checked, God is not in the business of possessing people and taking over their will and their emotions. God expects us to change our wills and emotion. I'm an emotional person. I don't knock emotions. I love emotions. I love the roller coaster of emotions. I love the feel of joy and excitement that I feel that the rest of you boring people don't get an opportunity to. Don't take that personal. I wasn't really talking about you. Yes, I was. No. But I love the life I live. I love how I live. I love my life. But if I allowed emotions to control me, they would. If I didn't get in control of my emotions, you know what controls my emotions? I tell myself I don't act that way because God's word says that I shouldn't. I don't live that way because this is what God says the way I should live. I change me into the image of Christ. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I learn his ways and I change accordingly. Now, listen, that doesn't mean I'm perfect. Serious? Serious? Remember when I talked about amens and all that? That was not the appropriate time. But with God, we change. With God, we change. Some change is not possible on your own. But you're going to have to take a step of faith and God will meet you every step of the way. You know, before I got into ministry, when God was leading me in that direction, he gave me a dream. And one of the dreams was I was standing on a cliff right at the edge. And there was another cliff as far as I could see. It was out there. And the Lord said, go to the other side. And I remember thinking, I can't go to the other side. There's nothing to step on. And I saw ropes from one side to the other that looked like a bridge should be there. And I heard the Lord again say, go to the other side. And I again said, but Lord, there is no path. And he said, you'll have to take the first step. And I remember leaning back and putting my foot down where a plank should be. And just as soon as I stepped down, a plank appeared. And I remember looking and taking my next step. And just as soon as I stepped down, another plank was there. It popped up as soon as my foot hit the place the plank should have been. And so after a while in my dream of every time taking a step, I began to pick up the pace. And boards were popping up underneath my feet as quick as I walked. And so then all of a sudden I took off running. And I remember running as fast as I could and planks popping up under my feet. And I made it to the other side. And the Lord spoke to me in my dream and said, your path to get to the other side, as quick as you get there, you determine that. I have called you to the other side. How quick are you going to get there? And it's going to take you taking a step of faith, and God will meet you there every time. What if I miss it? God's big enough to cover us. God is big enough to cover us. Even, hey, guess what? I've made mistakes. I've missed it. I've made the wrong decision in personally, in my family, and in ministry. And God has covered me every time. Every time. Kind of like baseball. If you're going to go down swinging. But what's greater about working with the Lord is he never lets you fall. He never lets you hit bottom. If you stick with him, he'll keep carrying you through.
That's right.
If your heart is after to please the Lord, God will always have you covered.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 6. I've already read, first seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for morrow. In other words, tomorrow. For morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient until the day is the evil thereof. What in the world does that mean? Let me read it to you out of the Message Bible. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. I want to read that one more time. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. Too many people want to hold on. I grew up in a church that always wanted to hold on to the last revival. They always wanted to hold on to what Meemaw went through. Y'all don't have Meemaws up here. But they always wanted to hold on to what happened 50 years ago. I'm thankful for what happened 50 years ago because it got us here. But I'm not going to ride the same wave that happened 50 years ago. And I'm not going to sit down and talk about how great the church was 50 years ago. The body of Christ keeps marching forward into the plan that God has called it to. Let's get up, lock arms, and do what God has called us to do. The Message Bible, give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. Don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard times come up when that time is come. You cannot plan for everything. Now, we make all the plans that we possibly know to make, but we will never be able to plan for everything. So we don't worry about tomorrow because God will take care of it. But it doesn't mean we don't do anything for tomorrow. I plan. Planning is a good thing. But we don't get caught up so worried about how things are going to turn out. Because we have a God, we have a Creator that we are in covenant with. And as we begin to make the changes by looking into God's Word, the mirror of the Word of God, and changing our life, God will always meet us there, and He doesn't have us change anything that doesn't bring increase. If our change is led by God, and I believe all our hearts is to change according to His Word, when we change personally, we bring the change that we're looking for in our families, in our cities, in our states, in our nation, and in this world, as the church stands up and becomes the church. Yes. That's when the world will fall in line. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right where you sit, I want you to just ask this question to the Lord. I believe God is moving in your life right now. God is speaking to your hearts. And I want you to ask the Lord, in this message, what was meant for me? God, what are you telling me in this word? Let's go ahead right now. Each individual, let's ask that question to the Lord. God, what are you speaking to my heart? I believe many of you are already receiving an answer from God. Father, thank you.